You're listening to the Caffeinated Thoughts Podcast. Hi, this is Shane Vanderhart. Happy Friday. Well, hey, today I wanted to talk about the Parental Rights Amendment, which was just reintroduced in the U.S. House of Representatives recently. To discuss this, why it's needed, and what it basically entails, I have a conversation with Will Estrada, who's the Director of Federal Relations with the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. But before we get to that conversation, first a word from our sponsors. Hi, this is Shane Vanderhart, editor of Caffeinated Thoughts. Should something, heaven forbid, happen to you, will your family be ready? One of the most important things you can do for your family is to make sure they are provided for after you're gone. Whether you're currently without life insurance or you're not happy with your current plan, Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America can help. Give Travis a call at 515-883-0029. That's 515-883-0029. Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America. He can help you find the life insurance you need.
At American Principles Project, we believe that human dignity should be at the heart of public policy. We work in all 50 states and in Washington, D.C. to promote life, religious freedom, local control over education, authentic economic progress for working Americans, and a return to constitutional principles such as federalism. Want to help American Principles Project? Visit our website today, AmericanPrinciplesProject.org. That's AmericanPrinciples, P-L-E-S, Project.org. Sign up for email updates. Help us out. We want to work with you. That's AmericanPrinciplesProject.org.
And we're back, and without further ado, here is my conversation with Will Estrada from the Homeschool Legal Defense Association talking about the Parental Rights Amendment. So, Will, thanks for talking to me today. Basically, the Parental Rights Amendment kind of came to the forefront again this legislative session. First of all, what is the Parental Rights Amendment for our listeners that may not be aware?
Absolutely. So the Parental Rights Amendment is quite simply to put into the black and white text of the U.S. Constitution as our next constitutional amendment, an amendment stating quite simply the liberty of parents to direct the upbringing, education, and care of their children is a fundamental right. That's section one of our Parental Rights Amendment. And the reason why we need to do that is because we are seeing a degradation of parental rights worldwide. We remember the case of Charlie Gard in the United Kingdom earlier this year, where they do not respect parental rights. And then even here in our country, we have seen the long traditionally held view that parental rights are fundamental, as our proposed text would put into the text of the Constitution. We've seen that being laid by the wayside. That first started in the year 2000 in the case of Troxell versus Granville, which came from the U.S. Supreme Court. And as a result of that case, we're seeing more and more lower court rulings that are declining to hold that parental rights are traditionally are fundamental, which is traditionally what they've been held. And so what we're seeing, Shane, is the level playing field that we've had throughout history, that parents and the government are on a level playing field, being tilted to where the government has more power. It's easier for government officials to come in to decide how children are going to be raised, cared for, and educated. And the government does not need to show as much evidence as they have in the past to overturn or to override the traditional view that parental rights are fundamental.
Right. Well, I've actually seen some arguments, from the conservative side saying they're concerned, just playing devil's advocate, they're concerned about going forward with this amendment because it's like it's supposed to be, you know, these rights are supposed to be inalienable. And now if we're having to codify it, what if it gets rejected then?
You know, that is a good argument, and I've seen those as well. And the funny thing is, the argument that we should not put parental rights into the Constitution because it's an inalienable right given to us by God, that argument actually dates back to 1789 and the debate after our U.S. Constitution was approved about the original Bill of Rights, where you had, you know, good men of our founders who said we should not have a Bill of Rights at all. That's because the Constitution was written to limit the power of the federal government. And as we all know how that debate ended, our founders said some rights are so important, You know, we don't trust government. We know that absolute power corrupts absolutely. And so we're going to put some into the Bill of Rights. And I think, and this is why I you know, respect that view, but I think why it's so important to put the parental rights in. I'm so glad our founders prevailed, that the ones who said we need to have a Bill of Rights prevailed. Do we think we would have as much free speech we have today if we didn't have the First Amendment? Would religious freedom be as protected as it is in the United States if we didn't have the First Amendment? Would we be able to own guns like we do if the Second Amendment didn't enshrine that inalienable right there? Or the Fourth Amendment, the right to be safe in our persons, houses, and effects from unreasonable searches and seizures, or trial by jury? So we protect guns, we protect trial by jury. I mean, heck, we even have a constitutional amendment saying the 10th Mountain Division cannot be quartered in my house, and that the government can't force you to open up your doors to law enforcement and to the military, but we don't protect parental rights. And so it's an understanding kind of rooted in the prevailing view that our founders, those who won that debate, that we should, that parental rights are so important, we should put them into the black and white of the Constitution.
So who's sponsoring this bill? What kind of momentum are we seeing? And will it actually pass Congress to go to the states?
Well, answering your second question first, we have some really good momentum right now. I think members of Congress are realizing that when you look at what's happening on the international scene, and when you look at you know, where our court decisions are going, or when you look at the case of Justina Pelletier from a few years ago, who was in Massachusetts and removed from her parents' custody, that we need to act now. So we're having some good momentum. For the first time in 3 years, we have the parental rights amendment introduced in both the House and Senate. In the Senate, it's Senate Joint Resolution 48. Lindsey Graham from South Carolina is our sponsor, and he was joined as original co-sponsors by Roy Blunt from Missouri, Johnny Isaacson from Georgia, Jim Risch from Idaho, Chuck Grassley, who's also the head of the Judiciary Committee from Iowa, and then Marco Rubio from Florida. So we are pushing for more co-sponsors. Our goal is to actually have a hearing in the Senate Judiciary Committee this year. And then we reintroduced in the House of Representatives, it's House Joint Resolution 121, and Randy Holtgren from Illinois, also a homeschool dad, he is the sponsor, and we already have 20 co-sponsors on that one. So we're moving quickly on that. And then your third question, and it's a very good question of, will we get a vote? You know, as any of our listeners know, amending the Constitution is pretty much the hardest thing in American politics.
Which it should be.
Which it should be. I completely agree. We've only had, you know, less than 30 constitutional amendments. I think the number is 26 right now, amendments to the U.S. Constitution, and 10 of those were the original Bill of Rights. So it's not something that should ever be lightly done. Our position is that, you know, parental rights are something everyone believes in, whether you're a liberal, whether you're conservative, whether you're rich, poor, whether you're Republican or Democrat. Everyone wants to be able to make those decisions as loving parents of how to raise, educate, and care for your children. I always remember how President Obama and Michelle Obama, when they moved to Washington, D.C., they chose a private school for their daughters. Right. And that was their right, and they exercised that. So we're asking people, if you agree with this, of putting right there in the text of the Constitution that parental rights are a fundamental right, then to contact your elected officials, to go to parentalrights.org for more information, to find out how you can get involved. You know, we'll only prevail on this, because amending the Constitution is so difficult, as it should be, if ordinary Americans from all walks of life stand up and join with us.
Are you know, if there's any mobilization at the state level to, if this does pass Congress, to you know, be able to push this through the states then, or would they be putting the cart before the horse?
Right. So as you said right there, you need, under the U.S. Constitution, 2/3 of the House, 2/3 of the Senate needs to vote to approve a constitutional amendment, and then 3/4 of the states need to vote to ratify them. We are already looking ahead, although obviously the first battle is winning in the House and Senate and then getting it to the states, but we are mobilizing at the state level. We have grassroots directors, we have state coordinators, we have some states that are more organized than others, so if there's someone listening to this podcast who wants to get involved, you can go to parentalrights.org, find out, number one, who your state coordinator or local coordinator is, and then if there isn't one, maybe if you're interested in getting involved, that's a good start.
Right. And each state's probably going to be a little bit different in how they ratify a constitutional amendment. But
well, in the past, every state has ratified constitutional amendments by their state legislature acting. You know, theoretically, a state could hold a referendum, but that's never been done in the past. It's always been the state legislature.
Gotcha. Okay, it's the one hasn't been done in my lifetime that I can recall. Any, I mean, it's been
the
a long
last
time.
So. One, you know, the last one I think went through in the early 90s, and it required that there be an election before a congressional pay raise.
I guess that was in my lifetime. I just wasn't politically.
Well, none of us were listening to that. And the funny thing is that was originally proposed by our founders. There were originally 12 Bill of Rights, and only 10 were ratified in the beginning years of our you know, republic. And so this one took 200 years to go through.
Well, hopefully the Parental Rights Amendment won't take that long.
That's, you know, in all seriousness, we realize that we're reaching an area in political discourse in our country where rights that everyone thought for generations were God-given are being stripped away. And so we do realize that there's probably the sand is probably going through the hourglass of how much time we have to even have popular support for a Parental Rights Amendment. And that's why we're working on it so hard, you know. I don't know if public opinion will be where it is today in 20 or 30 years, and you might have a majority who believe, you know, as those outlying law professors do in different law schools in the United States, that parental rights don't exist. There was one recently from William and Mary School of Law, Jim Dwyer, who said, even you taking your newborn home from the hospital is not because you have any rights, but because the government decided you should be the person to take care of that child.
Wow.
So that's an outlying view today in our country. Our concern is in 20, 30 years, that could be a majority of the opinions, which is why we're working so hard right now.
I do look at the erosion of public opinion among millennials on things like, well, free speech, freedom of religion, even the view of traditional marriage. It's disconcerting to see. So I think that's a valid concern. It is mind-boggling that some people think, you said earlier that parental rights is something that, you know, everybody believes in. And I'm thinking there's a lot of status, like the person you mentioned at the College of William and Mary, who don't believe that necessarily, who think, you know, we have to, parents are constantly subservient to government. I could just see some liberals saying, and it's I say liberals because it's usually these are the people usually making the argument. Say in Iowa, we have a couple of cases here involving, they say homeschool families, but I don't really know if they were homeschooled or not. But the Finn case, I can't think of the other kid that actually passed away. They said, you know, if we just let parents have all these rights, you know, kids are gonna. What about kids? Don't kids have rights? You know, I could see arguments like these being made.
And, you know, that's why the Parental Rights Amendment, it doesn't change current law. The Supreme Court currently holds that parental rights are a fundamental right, but the government, through the strict scrutiny test, can show, you know, our involvement is so important. They show, you know, a compelling state interest to be involved. So they can remove a child if abuse or neglect is going on in the house. If there's some urgent reason to get involved, and that's exactly what the Parental Rights Amendment would do. It doesn't tilt power, you know, more towards the parents. It creates an even playing field, you know, between parents and the government for generations to come. You know, we have people, as you mentioned, who want to tilt that so the government has more power. That's what happened in England, where the government's got all the power. Charlie Gard's parents had none. Right now, we're pretty much pretty balanced. But we see kind of the canary singing in the mineshaft of tilting away from parents and towards the government. We just want a level playing field, which is what the Parental Rights Amendment would do.
Right. I know. You know, one of the things that was kind of on the bubble during the Obama administration was the UN, Convention of the Rights of the Child treaty.
Yes.
Basically United States was being pressured to join. That hasn't gone away. I mean, that could still crop up here in the future. I don't think we have, you know, we're necessarily going to have to worry about that during through the Trump administration, but it is a concern, right?
Well, and that's one of the reasons why we're working on the Parental Rights Amendment. If any of those treaties, the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child or the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, mm-hmm. were ever ratified, they have in the treaty language which says best interests shall be the primary consideration in any controversy between a parent and his or her child. Best interests allows the government to come in and decide what they decide are best for children, as opposed to the traditional view that parents should be the ones who decide what's best for their children. We came pretty close to ratifying one of those treaties, the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities in 2012. It failed by only 5 votes in the U.S. Wow. Senate. You know, Article 6 of the U.S. Constitution says treaties which are ratified by the Senate shall become the supreme law of the land, and every judge in every state is bound thereby. So, you know, homeschooling, raising children, corporal discipline, every pretty much issue between parents and children is governed not at the federal level, but at the state level. And if we ever ratified one of these UN treaties, it would hasten the demise of parental rights and the power of the state over raising children.
Definitely. Well, just quick action steps for our listeners. What's the number one thing you need our listeners to do?
Number one thing, call your member of Congress, so your one U.S. representative and your two U.S. senators. Urge them to co-sponsor the Parental Rights Amendment, Senate Joint Resolution 48 in the Senate, House Joint Resolution 121 in the House. The Capitol switchboard is 202-224-3121. Again, that's 202-224-3121. For our listeners in Iowa, you actually want to call to thank Chuck Grassley for his co-sponsorship.
Right.
And then our other senator, who's a phenomenal senator, Johnny Ernst, urge her to co-sponsor the Parental Rights Amendment as well. Again, 202-224-3121. And then secondarily, you can go to parentalrights.org, read the proposed text of the Parental Rights Amendment for yourself. We have questions, answers, share it with friends and family. If you want to kind of go beyond, there's ways for you to get involved as well as a state or district or county coordinator.
Well, hey, Will, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. This is very helpful.
My pleasure, Shane. Thanks for bringing this up and for your great questions.
You're very welcome. Take care, man.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that concludes today's podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you happen to be listening to this somewhere other than on our website, I'd encourage you to go to caffeinatedthoughts.com. Again, that's caffeinatedthoughts.com. Or just Google Caffeinated Thoughts. It'll come up at the top of your search page. We'd appreciate you checking out our website. Also, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, sign up for our emails. That way you won't miss a single update. Hey, thank you so much again for listening. And until next time, my friends, take care.